This is Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, the most comprehensive racing report on the radio. From the dirt to the dragway, from karts to NASCAR, if it's racing, it's covered. Here's our host, racetrack announcer and race car driver Kane, with a Full Throttle Racing report.
Welcome to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. And what a great show. Thank you to Mobile International Speedway and Sunny South Raceway. Well, we're checking with Rick Crawford from MIS. What a huge, huge race it was. The U.S.-Canadian Challenge. And we'll talk all about who won and how it went down. Also, several drivers were injured last weekend. We'll talk about that. We've got all the latest. Also, Joe McCardle stops by to wrap up the weekend's last weekend Bandolero Nationals from Sunny South Raceway. Rick Tipton, one of the drivers of the Penelope House Super Trucks. He has his truck out and about today. I'm going to tell you where you can see him before he takes his super truck to Pensacola tonight. They're racing a special rate championship night. You'll see all about that. And also seven-time winner of the Sportsman Class at MIS, Chad Robinson. So lots to cover today. Even NASCAR with Dustin Long and SI.com. We'll spit it out. But first of all, we've got to go straight to Rick Crawford, who's actually already not around here. He's at Charlotte working on the trucks and all the good stuff. But man, you had a huge weekend last week. And welcome to the show, Rick.
Hey, thank you very much, Kane. We're Full Throttle, buddy. What an exciting weekend. Mobile F Speedway, I guaranteed it. It was fireworks on and off the racetrack. Wow. And what an exciting night for the fans, not only for the racers going for 10,000 to win on the Super Seal 150, but I think the fans saw an exciting night of racing, side-by-side action in the modifieds to the win. And, I mean, every feature win, I think, was less than a car length. Great race at Mobile National Speedway.
Well, you know, we'll start off just down at the lower level, the Bombers, Island Motor 2. Brandon Tipton takes it to win, but we had a Pensacola boy that showed up. Mr. Goodwin said, I want that trophy. And, boy, I tell you what, he did his best to try to get it, didn't he?
He did. He led it up until the last lap, last few laps, and then that day Motorsports 98, that thing's been strong for a few years down there, and they've done their homework.
Well, and you move on, and like you said, the open-wheel modified. Again, we've got Donald Crocker, who has won the championship as of this past weekend. But the big news is the accident that happened, Gerald Wilkerson involved with that one. Explain what happened to fans that weren't there, and it's all over Facebook. People have been talking about him. He had some issues, and he's getting better. But, man, it's been a long road recovery for Gerald Wilkerson.
Yeah, he's a tough old guy. He's been around a long time. And I went to see him Sunday night after his accident in the hospital, and I didn't know it, but he admits that was his first time ever riding in an ambulance in his life.
Wow.
And I thought that was pretty cool. And usually you don't get to go through life like that without having accidents, as especially a daredevil as he is.
Yeah.
And as fast as he is on the racetrack, anything can happen. But it did Saturday night. The car got sideways. It had skid marks all the way to the top of the track.
Yeah.
And you know, I even asked him at the hospital, I said, what do you think about a wall? And he's like, nah, I'd rather take my chances. And I mean, cause he'd really been seriously injured if it was a wall all the way around it. So would DJ Vanderly.
Yeah.
And so would Chris Skelton. Chris Skelton went off turn one, actually drove back on the racetrack and raced some more.
Yeah.
So I think we're lucky not to have a wall at Mobile National Speedway, but at the same time, you are taking some chances anyway. When you strap in, lock up the seat belt. And then even if when you exit a racetrack, no matter where you're at, I mean, if you hit something, you're probably taking a big jolt.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Now, can we discuss the injuries with Gerald for fans that might not know?
Well, Gerald, you know, I noticed his headrest on his seat was a little out of position, you know, and Gerald's not a 150-pound guy either.
Right,
I mean, he did take a sudden stop when he got to the bottom of the hill, and that's usually what gets a race car driver. And luckily, our safety crews put up some tire barriers down there around those oak trees, and that actually kind of, you know, made the car come to a stop. But he got, I think, one vertebrae in his neck, and then he had a little bone coming loose behind the femur, and they screwed it back together. So, He'll be ready to get back in action for two months longer.
Well, that's good to hear. And then you talk about it has been dubbed as the million-dollar wreck, lap one going into turn one with the super late models. Now, this was the biggest race I've ever seen, and fans have seen at Mobile International Speedway. You had $10,000 to win, an opportunity to race possibly in Martinsville like you've been talking about the past couple of weeks. And, oh, my gosh, lap one, Jeremy Pate gets together with Logan Boyette right in front of the field, and you can explain the rest.
Chaos. There was a lot of black cars going in other directions.
Oh, yeah.
And it just seemed like every car in the wreck. I mean, Dale Little,
yeah.
You had Chris Skelton, you had Logan Boyette. Every car that seemed to be stopped on the front straight or involved in the wreck was black.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't tell which way they were headed. And some of them were going the opposite direction. So.
Oh, yeah.
When somebody gets out of line on the first lap of a big event like that, and everybody's been to Talladega, everybody's mm-hmm. been to Bristol or anything like that, and when you get one car out of shape and it makes its way over into another lane or turns around going the other way, drivers have to take evasive action, and when they do, it just collects others. So it's an unfortunate situation, especially for all those guys, but you could tell by walking down there during driver intros that there was fire in driver's eyes for that $10,000 to win in that truck ride versus, oh, it's just another 100-lapper or just another super late model race or just a regular 150. So you could just tell there was something special at the end, and they were on their game and they were willing to do anything to make that happen.
Well, they did, and, you know, injuries, including Dale Little, the driver of the 99, he had I want to say a broken lower back. I don't know exactly which bone it was, but he'll be in a brace for 12 weeks, what we understand. DJ Vanderlei, like you said, he had a concussion. He was released. And then the last lap, oh, my gosh, what an amazing win it was for Jeff Turquette. But, boy, he had to earn it as here comes young Hunter Robbins. He tries to make a move and actually ends up going sideways, almost backwards across the line, and hits right where I was standing by the trophy. I was littered by his fiberglass as I'm running on water like Jesus trying to get out of there. I mean, it was like, wow. It was an amazing, amazing end to a great race. But the nice thing is Hunter was okay, too.
Absolutely. The car took a lot of the damage there, and I know he felt it. He's probably still feeling it or trying to answer the phone. But going into that last lap, I mean, you had two young drivers that wanted that opportunity to run Martinsville or, you know, like Jeff Turquette has called, and he was wanting to take his truck, his own personal NASCAR Camping World Truck Series truck, on to Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the sponsors done agreed that, hey, they'd help him in Phoenix rather than going to Martinsville and run his own truck. So I think that's going, you know, that's one thing about Super Seal. It's sort of flexible, but it does seal out the water and any kind of damage caused by rain. So at the same time, you know, Jeff Turquette's going the right direction, had the momentum on the high side, and then here comes Hunter Robbins sideways and backwards, and he lost the momentum at the finish line. And then he collects the inside wall. But what you just had was two guys actually, you know, going for it, and that's about the best you can say it. They were going for it.
Oh, yeah. You couldn't ask for any more than a promoter. And, again, the blessing is that the drivers weren't hurt any more serious. And what they were in there all have full recoveries, which is the most important thing. And, again, kudos to your emergency crew, your EMTs, the fire department. I mean, they were there right away. There was no chaos. They handled it quickly as they could, getting the other ambulance over to the track. So the racetrack did a great job behind the scenes, just making sure that everything and everybody was okay after those wrecks.
Well, thanks a lot, Kane. Yeah, a lot goes out to the safety workers, and they try to be really efficient and really try to handle, you know, race car drivers and sports athletes, and that's the reason you see some of them act real tough. I don't look for them to take as long in this healing process.
Oh, yeah.
But that was the last super late model race of the season. They'll get ready for the Snowball Derby, of course, and then next year it should be an exciting action with the Miller Lite Super Late Model Series.
Well, and we're not done this year. You've got a huge event with Polaris, who actually today has got a car show. Some of the sportsmen is going to be out there, including Chad Robinson, we'll talk to later. He'll have his car out there, a 50-lap Polaris Sportsman Challenge. Big money to win, but not just that. You've got the Prater Realty Super Stocks and Trucks again for the final time, I want to say, this year, and then also the Island Motor 2 Bombers. So this is going to be a huge event Saturday, October 13th.
Yes, it is. We got a jam-packed action. It's brought to you by the Four Points Biloxi Beach Hook Resort.
Oh, yes.
And it's the Polaris 50, $2,000 to win for these guys. These guys are usually running for, I don't know, probably $600, maybe $400 in that sportsman class, something like that. And if you throw them out there with three times as much on the line, you can expect the same kind of excitement that we did with the Super Late Model Series. And I'm sure you'll see drivers backing across the finish line or turning around backwards at the beginning. And but, you know, there was one thing different about this year's Super Late model, you know, the Super Seal 150, mm-hmm. other than others, is that, yes, we only had 26, 27 cars, but every car in the field was had a capable of winning the race.
Oh, yeah.
And that's unheard of, you know, throughout the series or Super Late model action. Usually you got 15 good cars and 10 that you hate to say it, but they're field fillers not as competitive as others. And this particular race, they were all great cars, great drivers, and they put on a super show.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And then one more race at the end of the year, the 27th of October. It's now becoming a staple at the Speedway, the Halloween Demolition Derby, and the Bash to car trick-or-treating for the kids, which will be great. Costume contest. You got drivers that are dressing up, but you'll have the Automotor 2 Bombers, the championship for 25 laps. You've got your Bob Speed Shop Sportsman Championship for 30 laps. Let's throw in the motorcycles in the Demolition Derby. There's no better ticket on the Gulf Coast for that and for the family.
Oh, and there's going to be a surprise.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, there'll be a surprise for the Halloween bash, and we'll have a great time down there, and you'll just have to come out and watch and see what it is. I think it'll be pretty cool for some people that hadn't seen it.
Well, that's awesome. So lots of still to do, MobileSpeedway.net and Facebook. And then now for next year, we've got ARCA already planned in, and now I also know you still are working on a truck ride. What's your NASCAR side looking for your near future, Rick?
Well, October the 6th, we got the race at Talladega the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. I'll be driving the number 20. It's a KBM truck owned by George Bragg, Racing Group. And Josh Bragg will be on the box as a crew chief. Number 20 with a Joe Gibbs Toyota under the hood. And
wow.
I keep telling everybody I'm going to the dark side. But on the other hand, you know, I've been Ford Chevrolet for the last few years.
Yeah.
And going to Toyota, I'm really looking forward to driving that Tundra. And probably got the biggest opportunity to win at Talladega that I've ever had.
Wow.
But, you know, with the manufacturer behind us and especially KBM and Joe Gibbs, and I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for the opportunity to be able to do that.
Oh, it's going to be huge. I mean, so not only local racing, but back on the national level. You never left it. You just took some time to help us with our track, and we're so thankful, Rick. And I know you're busy. You're up in Charlotte now, so we'll let you go, but we appreciate you being part of the show.
Don't forget. One thing, don't forget.
Oh, yeah.
October 1st,
the
ticket renewal goes back on sale for the March 9th, 2013 Mobile ARCA 200. The real tickets, if they haven't already been taken, the real tickets go on sale December 1st. So get your tickets early, renew your tickets. If you sit in the grandstands last year or your motorhome camping spot, you can renew the same place. You got, I think, 30, 45 days to renew. So if you want the same seat, the same camping spot, the same everything you had over the weekend, and believe me, we're not through putting that weekend together.
Wow.
And it's a weekend you're not wanting to miss.
Awesome. There you go. We appreciate it. That's Rick Crawford. And again, you have a great weekend and enjoy the rest of it, my friend.
Thank you very much, Kane. We're full throttle, buddy.
All right. There you go. Again, Rick Crawford, one of the hardest working promoters you're going to find along the Gulf Coast. But hang on. We've got more to talk about. Some of those drivers running at MIS. Rick Tiffin, he's taking his Penelope House super truck out on the road today before he takes it to Pensacola. We're going to talk about where you can see this truck and why it's out there. Also, a seven-time winner of the Sportsman Series from MIS, Chad Robinson joining us. NASCAR with Dustin Long and even Joe McCardle wrapping up last weekend in Bandolero Nationals. Lots to come right here in Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. And again, we've still got lots of racing to talk about, including NASCAR. But we've got to talk about the Bandolero Nationals. They were here last weekend at Sunny South Raceway. And Joe McCardle, the man with all the knowledge from the track, was there. And Joe, you had some great racing there last weekend, didn't you?
Yes, we did. We did have a man here. We had some professional Bandoleros, I'm telling you. From 8 to 12, from 12 to 14. We ran 10 heats Saturday and 2 seasons, and we were through 9 o'clock Saturday night. So, you know, we looked around and spoke the presentation, pictures, and went and got the young drivers some wannabe champagne, and they like to drown it, everybody in the tech building. But we had fun. Talking about states, the longest toll was Lake Havasu, Arizona.
Wow.
We had one car from Michigan, and I think it's like 8 from Texas, North Carolina, Georgia, 2 from Florida, 1 from Louisiana.
Wow.
And we had two locals from Alabama.
Wow. Just two locals for the Nationals, and that's saying something. Well, the racing was great. Who took the championships in both the classes?
The Outlaw was Seth Warner out of Kannapolis, North Carolina, who didn't even have to win the race. He was that far in points nationwide, but he went ahead and showed them why he's a champion. He ran, set on the pole, ran off and left them, hid, won the race, won the championship.
Dang.
In the Bandolero Bandits, we had Michael Meeks out of Oklahoma City up against Cody Connor out of North Carolina. Whomever finished ahead of the other was the national champion.
Wow.
Didn't have to win the race. And for the longest time, the 45 of Cody Connor, he ran up front.
Wow.
And, you know, with the two choose, the double file restart, Michael Meeks come up out of Oklahoma and says, I'm ready. He kept going up to the front each time, getting closer and closer. One lap to go. Made a pass on the back straight and won the championship.
Wow. Boy, you can't script a better race than that.
No, sir. It was, and I'm telling you, honest to God, we have got on paper, transponder time, electronic time.
Yeah.
We've got that Warner kid out of North Carolina running some 13-15s and 13-16s.
Wow.
Now, just to show you how important it is to be ticked. Both winners, the engines were taken off, taken back to North Carolina.
Whoa.
They don't play no games at the national events.
Wow. So technically they were the winners, but they wanted to go back, totally tear down the motors to make sure they were legal.
Standard procedure at a national event.
Standard procedure. Well, let me ask you. Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, as a track promoter, and now having this big national event, and you guys get your name out to other places that might not have known about Sunny South, especially through these young drivers. What do you see in the future with that? And how hard is it for you to try to get something like that again? Is that something where they take a different track every year, or does Sunny South have the opportunity to get it again?
Well, what we have seen, you know, U.S. Legends is owned by our big shot boss there, Burton.
Oh, yeah.
All right, which in turn owns several racetracks across these United States. Like the last 2 years, it was in Kentucky. Okay, he owns both tracks. I mean, owns the track.
Yeah.
What we have seen in the past, when it comes to his track, I mean, you know, it's all about money.
Of course.
He will give one of his own tracks a 2-year deal, and somebody like us maybe once every 3 years. And to be honest, they do try to schedule the races. Now, next year, they'll go out to the West Coast.
Oh.
See? I mean, they do that. Like the Legend Nationals in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 1 year, they're in California. Next year, they're in Mid-South. And they will go as far as Charlotte. Now, last year they were Charlotte. This year, Atlanta. Next year, West Coast.
Ah, okay. Okay, so they do change it up then.
They do change up. I will try to put in again for them. It was a treat. It was an honor to host it. I've seen some of these kids has been 92 or 3 times just to practice for this race, and it paid off.
Oh, yeah.
It really
These really are the future stars of the racing world. You know, these are the ones that will make it, and where they go from here, it all depends. Legend cars up there, they can take that turn to the sprint car, they can go to the asphalt, and who knows where they go.
And like I say, the T-shirt we sold this past weekend was the 15th annual Bandolero National Sunny South Raceway.
Nice.
And on the back, since 1992, I think it was, they listed every winner. Joey Logano, David Reagan, Jake the Snake Crum. I mean, they're there.
That is so cool. Now, you guys, the season's pretty much over now for Sunny South.
Sunny South closed another chapter in their history this past Saturday night.
Yeah.
At this time every year, I'm ready to shut her down, but 2 weeks from now, I'm ready to go back.
That's all you can. You got to go back. It's a terrible drug, isn't it?
It is. It's a long winter, man. I'm here to tell you.
Well, what plans for next year? I know we had a lot of fun with the Bombers. I know people are asking if the Bombers will be racing, and I think we're looking at possibly, and we haven't really said too much about it, we'd love to come once a month over to the track possibly. I know you can get a lot of cars, and I know it's stuff that you'll talk about on the off season. What else are you looking at for next season?
Like you say, we're talking about the Bombers coming once a month. Mm-hmm. I'm even tempted to try the Sportsman.
Oh, they're hungry. Yeah. They're ready.
and like I say, for sure, I haven't made it 100% yet.
Yeah.
But for sure, it looks like we're going to go back to Friday nights and let everybody, all these other big tracks have this Saturday night. We know who we are. We're just going to do what we have to do to survive.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Sunny South Raceway is such a great, great speedway, and it's so much fun to race and be a part of and just take in a race as a fan because it's top-notch, it's clean. You know, the kids can you can easily let the kids run and not worry about them. And the racing's great. It really is.
Yeah, the racing's great. And, you know, I've been to Sunny South since almost, since day one, not as a promoter but as a race car owner. Been there with my son, now I got my grandson, and next year, my granddaughter. I've been through a lot there. This past 4 or 5 years has been kind of rough. This year is the hardest year I've had at Sunny South. It's been some trying times, but since Monday morning, the emails and the phone calls I've got, people calling me, telling me what a wonderful time they had, number one.
Great.
The hospitality, number two.
Yeah.
But what makes it even more better is the racetrack is unique.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it is. It's such a...
They loved it.
I'm honored to be able to get my only two wins there this year, and my first four wins.
And then you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Joe, we appreciate it. We're going to stay back with you. We'll get back with you before. Real quick, give me when you're going to have the awards banquet. It's coming up.
Awards banquet would be November the 17th on a Saturday. We got more details. Stay tuned to the website.
There you go, or Facebook as well. Joe, it's an honor to have you on, as always. We enjoy it, and we love it, and we look forward to working with Sunny South Raceway again next year.
Sounds good. Appreciate it, man.
And you're going to see one of the hardest-working promoters there also, Joe McCardle, doing what he can to keep another small track in America open for our racers. How about that? We've got some of those racers that take advantage of that. Still to come, 7-time winner this year in the sportsman class. That's unheard of. How about it? From MIS, Chad Robinson standing by, and Rick Tipton has got one of the coolest-looking super trucks. We're going to talk with him, Penelope House Super Truck, next. Hang on, it's Full Throttle Racing with Kane. Show it's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. And again, thank you to Mobile on the National Speedway. And we just heard from Joe McCardle from Sunny South Raceway. A great way to wrap up this year's season over there with the Bandolero Nationals. The Bombers returning probably once a month. Looks like Friday night racing. Now it looks like it's what Joe's telling us for next year. And maybe even the Sportsman coming. That would be exciting. And exciting would be maybe this guy's next name, the middle name for him. He has won, I believe, 7 times in the last year. Chad Robinson, welcome to the show, man.
How's it going, buddy?
Hey, is that right? 7 times?
Yes, sir. I got lucky this year.
No, you got lucky. I think it's a little bit more than that, man. You're flying the aeroplane a little bit pretty good, I guess.
Yes, sir. It's hooked up this year, and we've been doing our homework, so it's paying off for us.
Well, let's talk about it. This year has been a long year at Mobile International Speedway for lots of the divisions, lots of changes. And let me ask you, from what I see as a fan's point of view with the sportsman class, probably some of the best racing I think I've seen at the track and also at Five Flag Speedway. There's something about this class. It's the next class up from the Bombers, just under the Superstocks and Trucks, and this is a really popular class. Can you explain what you've seen behind the wheel this year?
I mean, there's a lot of good drivers down there. I'm not going to lie. It is the best racing from track to track anywhere. It's the best.
Oh, you got the guard dog off. You got the competition checking out the race car.
That's it. Guard dog.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Well, let me ask you, I know that big day coming up October 13th, $2,000 to win with Poleros behind there, and it's going to be a big race. You've got folks like, Buttrick, Steve Buttrick. He might be coming from Pensacola. Obviously, someone that's been one of your biggest competitions this year. Maybe I would say it's be the 00 Brandon Fowler. I'm sure both those cars will come. What did you do to prepare for a big race like this? Anything different?
Man, not really. We just going to have to go back and check everything and nut and bolt and just make sure our stuff is right so we can be able to put on a good show. And I ain't gonna lie to everybody, I'm worried about Buttrick, so it's going to be a good night.
Well, he can drive a car sideways. He's run on dirt, and that's how he has his car set up at Five Flags. And you see it at Mobile, too. And just think how fast he is sideways if he had that thing straight through there.
Yes, that's it. He'd be sure to be hooked up. And that's what we worried about, him coming over here and hitting his setup on money like we've been doing. And then it's just sure going to make a good race.
Well, what does an average team like you guys do? Actually, we get you guys are, I wouldn't say teammates, but good friends with James Patrick, the driver, the 11. You guys pit next to each other. You help each other out. What have you guys been able to share, having two cars essentially in the same area? I know you guys kind of share some information. Has it been beneficial for you guys this year? Obviously, with seven wins and a few poles, it has.
Yes, sir. We both try stuff, and if it works on one, we try to try it on the other, just help both of us out. And me and him's been friends since we was about 10 years old, so we try to hang out with each other and just help each other out. And he learns stuff and I learn stuff, and we try it and just go from there on it, and just see how we can get faster.
What's been the hardest part of this year, Chad?
Putting tires on it.
It gets expensive. How much does a set of tires cost if a weekend of racing for the average sportsman? If someone's wanting to build one, what are you realistically going to have to pay for, and how much is it going to cost?
Man, that's the thing. Our tires, I'm running them 4 weeks.
Wow.
Unless, like this big weekend, I'll buy tires for it just because. But yeah. It ain't really too bad. A set of tires is $412 a train, so it really ain't too bad.
It really isn't. You're using slicks instead of the road tires, but, if you're a bomber driver, you're spending on that if you're cutting the tires anyway.
That's it. And then you use 5 gallons of fuel, so you $50. So it really ain't too bad of a class. It ain't no money-making class for sure if you win every week.
Where is that at, and what racetrack? Let's head there, brother.
That's it. I'll go with you.
We don't race to win, that's for sure. But what do you do now as a driver who's looking to get a championship and have seven wins? What do you do to try to attract sponsors? What else can you possibly do?
That's about it. You just have to be able to talk and show them you can drive, mm-hmm. and then you can produce for them. And that's the bad thing. I didn't know how I was going to run this year. That's why I missed the first three nights. Mm-hmm. Was I was just going to sit back and play it out. And then I've been doing good. So the only thing I got front in my bill this year is my back pocket and my crew members that are helping. So.
And who are they? Who helps you out on a regular basis?
Man, it's my dad, David, Darren, Michael, Whitney's been helping. Thomas, just anybody that shows up, really. Me and David, we put in the long hours. Dad helps. Most people just help at the track. But, me and David, we sit out there and just scratch our heads night after night trying to figure out what to do to make it go faster.
Well, you know what? And that's what the teams that are successful have to do.
Yes. Yep.
Well, Chad, we appreciate you coming on board. And, again, if someone wants to possibly throw some smart sponsor money your way, I know you have a towing company, and you do that. Can they reach you there?
Yes, sir. First Choice Towing. And I answer the phone, so if you call, it will be me. So anybody who needs a tow or wants to sponsor a car, they can sure call.
There you go, First Choice Towing, and First Choice in Victory Lane, probably going to be Chad Robinson on October 13th. Well, I tell you what, Chad Robinson had a lot to talk about, and he's actually doing pretty well with himself. And here's another guy who's got one of the sharpest-looking super trucks out there, and I love the guy. He's always got a big heart. He's always doing something in the community. It's Rick Tipton, driver of the number 49 Penelope House Super Truck, and you're on the road this morning taking the truck, not to the racetrack. That's tonight. You're still racing tonight, but you've got something special going on with the Penelope House. Rick, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Absolutely. What do you got going on with the hot rod today?
Well, we're heading over there. We're going to the Bayfront Park off Dauphin Parkway close to the Dog River Bridge.
Yeah.
It's called the Day in the Park for the Penelope House. And we're taking a truck down there and going to have it on display from this morning till 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Mm.
And from there, we go to Pensacola, and we're going to run a demo type race over there for everybody to see what we're about.
Please don't say Demolition Derby and Five Flag Speedway together. That's what happens when we take our cars.
There you go.
Yeah, and I'm excited about this because this is a new class. These things, Rick Crawford kind of brought them in to run with the super stocks, and they said, well, this year we just need to see how many trucks we can get before we have a class all by themselves. And now the street talk is, well, not only will they have a class at Mobile, but now with this race here Saturday in Pensacola, there's a really good chance that, A, They're going to have a truck class next year there if we can generate at least 10 of them. But B, there's a possibility, and I don't know, this is just a rumor, and I don't know if you've heard anything, Rick, as a truck driver, but they might run the trucks and super stocks together at the Snowball Derby. Is that true? Have you heard anything like that?
I haven't heard anything like it right now, but, okay. You know, probably more will come Saturday night when we get over there. But as of right now, they just told us they'd like us to come over there and run and for everybody to see what we're about, and I guess they're going to go from there.
Well, I think if it's anything like when they had the Pro Challenge cars and truck come last year, the fans really got an exciting kick out of it. And these trucks are something special. Tell us a little bit about the truck itself. It looks like one of the NASCAR truck series you would see the Camping World series in.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. We are a metric chassis. We're not tubulars. We're a metric chassis. We're going to try to get where we're going to run next year. We're going to try to run the 602 crate. We weigh 2,800 pounds. And it's just a fun thing to be in.
You know, driving a car compared to a truck, because you've raced cars for a while as well. Now that you've got this truck, is it a different feel? Because, it, you know, the way the truck's set up, it's a lot, you know, the bed, and it's a little bit lighter in the rear end, I guess. Or do you compromise, or do you put the weight where it needs to be? I mean, what's it like? I would think it would feel like it's light through the turns.
Yeah, it is a little bit light, but, you know, that's where you get your lift from to set up your truck and all that.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, the truck and probably the super stock would be the same way. It's a whole lot easier driving than if you're in, like, the Sportsman or the Bombers.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir. There's more ways that, you know, you set it up to what the track tells you can set it up to, and it just handles a whole lot different.
So I wouldn't be cranking that wheel, sliding the rear end. If I do that, I'm going around for a wild ride, wouldn't I?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, it goes a whole lot easier into the turns, I think.
Well, Rick, let me ask you, you and your wife have been together with the Penelope House. She works there. Tell us a little bit about who the Penelope House is along the Gulf Coast and why you've been able to take your heart so much into it.
It's my wife's aunt that works with Penelope House, and we started off on the truck when we first got it. We tried to talk to people about sponsors, and no one really wanted to talk to us, and we decided we didn't want to go with a plain truck, and we're talking to her and her cousin and all that. We thought it would be a good idea to do something that, you know, will help out others and have fun and have a good-looking truck, and my wife and her decided, you know, they're going to put the Penelope House on there and the breast cancer on there.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be a nice truck, and we're having fun meeting people, going to different events, and we know we're doing good for not only us, but for other people, too.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is what kind of reaction do the kids give you when you pull up in that real race truck, something that looks like they've seen on TV, and you say, yeah, you can go ahead and sit in it. Isn't it an amazing feeling?
Yeah, it's a great feeling. I had a little girl. We went to Bay Bear Stadium for a strikeout for domestic, and she didn't want Hot Wheels that we were passing out, and I had a little bracelet, a little plastic bracelet that said Princess on it, and I gave it to her, and the smile on her face was unbelievable.
See, and that's it. You know, we with Hurricane Motorsports like to do that. American Cancer Society, I work with them with the Chili Cook-Off downtown, and we always take two or three of our cars, and that's a big thing for us and also for our sponsors because of that very reason, like you said, to see the kids light up and the fans come out. I mean, when you have an event with a couple hundred people or 10 to 13,000 people, when you got your vehicle there, not only are you promoting yourself, the race team and your sponsors, but racing in general, and that's what we like to do, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
I tell you what, it's a busy day, so you're done at 3 o'clock. Do you have enough time to get the truck loaded and head to Pensacola?
Yeah, it'll be ready. We'll have it ready when we go over there, and we'll have the trailer and all that, and we'll just load up and head that direction.
Well, I tell you what, I do traffic, and the cops sit right at the state line, wait for the speeding until you get to the track, brother. Okay?
There you go. Can I say one more thing?
Absolutely. Please, Rick.
We've got another event coming up that's October the 9th at Ruby Tuesdays over there at McGregor and Airport.
Yeah.
Anybody that comes in there eats, they're going to take 20% and give it to the Penelope House. So people's hungry, they need to come and see us there, too.
Oh, that is perfect. Rick, we appreciate you coming on the show, and we'll see you tonight at Five Flags.
All right, I'll be there, and you be safe.
Oh, absolutely. Again, that's Rick Tipton. And his truck, if you've never seen it, is one of the neatest-looking cancer-painted trucks. It's got the pink and the gray and the blue. And, again, you'll see it today if you head over to Bayfront Park. If you're in Mobile, take the kids. Definitely worth it with the Penelope House. Coming up next, we're NASCAR with Dustin Long. It's The Chase, and lots of good news coming up. Hang on, we're not done yet. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you to Joe McCardle from Sunny South Raceway with the last weekend's Bandolero Nationals. Done with racing this year. Again, Rick Tippin, you can go see his truck at the Penelope House, a super truck. Going to be at Bayfront Park, which is cool. And then Chad Robinson has his sportsman today over Victory Polaris right on the Beltline. We've got a huge car show. Make sure to go over there and check my Facebook later. I've got some free tickets to give to you on some trivia. And then everyone has been asking about Gerald Wilkerson. Let me tell you, he's one of the drivers up spurt last weekend at Mobile International Speedway. You know, the 9-10-time champion. He is self-employed, and he's going to have some problems with the bills from a broken leg and a broken neck and the surgery he's had. So now you can go to any Regions Bank locally, and you can help Gerald out. They have a fund to help him out with some of the bills. So, again, I just got that information. Regions Bank, Gerald Wilkerson, you can help out. Well, NASCAR, again, takes their turn to the Monster Mile, one of the coolest trophies, I think, next to either the electric guitar at Kentucky, or you've also got the big clock. And Dustin Long has got all the information with SI.com and USAtoday.com. Good morning, and welcome to the show, Dusty.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, doing great. I know you're a busy man, and you've got lots of racing to hit. So first of all, I want to talk a little bit about you had an article in USA Today earlier this week about Kyle Busch and his thoughts on the point system. How did this come about?
Well, it was just Kyle was at a media event at Martinsville Speedway the other day, and you know, one of the questions I asked him was, you know, a lot of people will say that that the drivers aren't racing as hard because they're not seeing as many crashes. And people a lot of times liken, you know, crashes, aggressive racing to hard racing. And you look back at the New Hampshire race last week, there were, you know, I think three cautions, none for accidents. In the July New Hampshire race, there were four cautions, zero for accidents. So they had two races at New Hampshire this year, and there were no accidents. So I asked him about it. I said, what's kind of part of the issue related to that? And his point was, well, we're not sitting out there like it's a Sunday drive. Mm-hmm. But he goes, to be honest with you, he says, you know, he thinks it boils down to the points. He says, you can't have a bad day and take a chance and wrecking yourself or wrecking somebody. Mm-hmm. He says, you know, we were supposed to put more emphasis on winning. He says, which he thinks was done a little bit, but the 30th, 40th place finishes hurt so bad that you just can't take that risk. And then later in our discussion, he threw out the idea of having a separate point system for the chase driver. So, you know, whoever's the highest finishing chase driver in a chase race, regardless of where they finish, they get 12 points. And the next highest would get 11 points, all the way down to the last chase driver in that race would get 1 point. So they'd have their own little point system, 12-1, and give them the bonus points and so forth. And actually, you know, we kind of figured it out. And, you know, Jeff Gordon is in the current point system is last, 45 points out. But actually, in this revised point system, he'd actually be eighth and be a little bit closer. Still wouldn't be easy, but he would be you know, at least higher in the ranking. So it was something that was just kind of interesting that came out. You know, Kyle also talked about his frustration this year with not making the chase and, you know, and the disappointment with that and how it's just really kind of beat him down and the struggles he's also had with his Nationwide program. You know, he hasn't won with it. Kurt mm-hmm. won in it in his car at Richmond right. earlier this year, but Kyle hasn't even won in it yet. So there's, you know, it's been a frustrating year for Kyle.
Well, how about Kurt? He's in the news as well, taking over the ride, apparently, even as soon as after Talladega over at Furniture Row Racing, number 78. So Regan Smith, that could be his final race.
Yeah, it looks like that's probably the way it's headed, and that Kurt would be in the 78 car the following week at Charlotte. So Kurt will be moving over there definitely for next season, and now it looks like he's going to get a head start. And it makes sense because, you know, there's nothing really holding him back at Phoenix Racing. You know, he could easily leave there, and, you know, it makes sense for Furniture Row. If they want to start moving toward next year, you know, and if they can get the guy in the car now, why not do it and let your other driver go?
Well, you talk. We were talking off the air a little bit about Denny Hamlin, and now he's taking it to the next level, going to a sports psychologist. Now, this sports psychologist is telling him what? What is he trying to improve on from a psychologist's point?
Well, Denny started consulting with a sports psychologist last year mm-hmm. After the disappointment not in how the 2010 season ended with just losing the championship to Jimmy Johnson the last race of the year, and then the disappointment of the struggles of last season. And he's been consulting with Bob Bertello, who is a well-known sports psychologist, does a lot of work with golfers and other athletes. And obviously this weekend with Dover, you know, Denny has said it repeatedly, you know, this is his weakest track in the chase. He has like two top 10 finishes in his last 10 races there. And, you know, this is his weakest track, while for Jimmy Johnson, this may be his strongest track. Johnson's won four of the last seven races there. So if everything plays out on paper, and goes, if everything plays out as it looks like it would on paper, Johnson, you know, would win or finish top two, top three, and Hamlin would finish somewhere around 15th and lose a lot more points. So, you know, Danny, I talked to Danny earlier this week. I said, I know you talked about you're going to consult with Rotello, you know, Dover week. Have you consulted with him? And he says, well, let me show you. And he pulls out his phone and pulls up the text.
Oh, wow.
He said he sent a text to Rotello and said, hey, I need a good one this week. This is my worst track. And then Rotello sent him a text back. And the response was from the sports psychologist to Denny was, quote, let your challenge for the week be to fall in love with this track. From the moment you arrive, look at things to love and about to love about it and reasons to love it. All week, look for things great and special to happen to you. Embrace the challenge of having your best attitude that you've ever had this week. Take pride in showing yourself how strong your mind is. Own your mind and own the racetrack that you race. Control your attitude and let your emotions own the world. Have fun.
Wow. 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 How much is he paying for that text? That's amazing. Well, that's good. That's good. It's very, very inspirational. I could see how that could help. And, you know, I know there are other sports athletes that do that, but I've never heard of a lot of drivers doing it. So I think it's cool that he does. And you got to look at some of the challenges coming up. Dover, obviously. But how about Talladega? That's one of those throw it up in the air, pray for the best. You've got Martinsville coming up with the Tums Fast Relief 500. And then the other tracks seem like there's a little bit more room to work on anyway. What do you see as we're getting down to the final, what, 7-8 races here? What do you expect to see out of these drivers? Is it going to get a little bit more aggressive? Is it like, you know, like Busch wants?
Well, I think what's going to happen is right now you're racing at Talladega, and Talladega next week is the fourth race in the chase. And after that, you know, normally Talladega is a little later in the chase, but it moved up a couple of weeks. Kansas moved back because Kansas is doing that repave, just gives them a couple extra weeks to get everything in place. But, you know, it's easy to say, you know, right now that, you know, Dale Earnhardt Jr., 7th in the points, 26 points back, is really teetering on the edge of being out of this chase race. Mm-hmm. However, the key is just to kind of stay as close as you can, get to Talladega. If something happens to the leaders and nothing happens to you, then suddenly you gain those points back and it's a new race. Now, if you're 25, 30 points back at Talladega and you get caught up in something and the points leaders, you know, those guys at the top of the points don't, you're done. I mean, it's over. I mean, unless something crazy happens. So, you know, I think it's right now it's a race to Talladega to stay as close. That's why I think Dover's a huge race. You just don't want to lose. You just want to avoid losing as many points as possible. You want to put yourself in the best position as possible. And then at Talladega, you hope that something happens to the leaders and something doesn't happen to you and you close the gap and it's a whole new. Then it becomes a 6-race chase instead of a 10-race chase. But if the leaders make it through Talladega with no problem and you're 25 points back after Talladega, 25 or more, you're probably done.
Yeah. How about Jeff Gordon's chances?
Jeff Gordon needs a lot of help. I mean, you know, he finishes top three at New Hampshire and he gains 2 points.
Yeah.
Now he gained points on all the other guys and ahead of him in the points, so that helps him maybe trying to climb up. I mean, you know, right now their goal should be their 12th in points is try to get in the top 10. Top 10, get to Vegas. You want that invite to Vegas. Yeah. Then after that, you try to get each position you can. But, you know, if you gain 2 points a race on the leader, you're not going to win the championship. So if it's championship or bust, then as he said, New Hampshire is going to need something miraculous to happen.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you: a silly season now coming up, and then I know you've got to run here. Any new deals out there? I heard Elliott Sadler close to deal, possibly part-time Cup with Gibbs next year. Is that going to happen?
Well, I think what you're going to see is you're going to see Sadler full-time nationwide with Gibbs and likely Brian Vickers full-time nationwide with Gibbs. That seems to be the indication. And then there seems to be the possibility that Regan Smith could end up over at Junior Motorsports nationwide next year. But realistically, there aren't really many Cup rides left. I mean, obviously, there's the Phoenix Racing one, but I think there's been some talk about potentially Brian Scott is running nationwide over at Gibbs, potentially going over to Phoenix Racing with his sponsor and doing some stuff there. and driving over there. You know, there just aren't many seats left. I mean, the music is pretty much stopped. You know, and you're not looking at any of the top rides, and just doesn't look like any of the top teams are going to add any teams. I mean, they're all just still trying to find sponsorship
right. For
their cars, let alone trying to add anything. So I don't know if you're going to see anything too dramatic. I mean, if anything's going to happen silly season-wise, it's probably going to be with teams 15th, 20th on back of the points. And, you know, and that's just kind of the norm. And you kind of see, you know, guys that far back, you know, guys lose ride, guys jump in and that kind of thing. But, you know, I think for your top teams, I think, you know, now you're waiting on sponsorship announcements and stuff like that. And I think Stewart's got one next week. And, I think the expectation is that'll be Bass Pro that will replace Office Depot as a sponsor. So we'll know more about that on Monday.
Well, good. I know it's going to be a busy race weekend and heading to Dover. And then, of course, Talladega next weekend. We'll definitely have to get you back on the air. Where can we keep track of you this weekend?
Just find me on Twitter at Dustin Long. You know, I'll have stuff posted at points you can find stuff of mine on USA Today's website, Sports Illustrated's website, AthlonSports.com, and elsewhere.
All right, thanks a lot, Dusty. And that'll do it. Thank you to Rick Crawford from MIS, Joe McArdle checking in with Sunny South Raceway, Rick Tipton, also the driver of the number 10 Sportsman. You can see that at Victory Polaris. That's Chad Robinson. Another reminder, though, again, Gerald Wilkerson at Regions Bank. They now have a bank fund for him to help with the injuries that he sustained last weekend. Again, he's self-employed, might not have insurance, so we're trying to help Gerald out. Go to any Regions, you can find out more. That'll do it this time around. Be safe. Have a blessed day. We'll see you on the track next time.
If you'd like to be featured on Full Throttle Racing with Kane, email us at fullthrottleracingwithkane@yahoo.com. And they may have you and your race team on the air. Join us again next Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. for another hour of local and national racing news on Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5.